I'm going to talk about finding our voice, and so it's really quite appropriate that I should give this little notice. Sheila's new brochure is out with her new musicals, and so if any of you are in contact with any teachers, and if you know anybody that has that kind of contact in school, please take one, because they are fabulous musicals, I'm sure, and that is a way of our voice, by way of Sheila, really impacting schools in this area and, in fact, all over the nation. So there we go. So I stand here with the mic in my hand and I can communicate with you and show you my thoughts and all that kind of stuff. But, of course, we all have a voice. It's not just me standing here. We all have a voice and we all communicate. And I just wanted to, as a sort of preamble, I suppose, talk about River Church as a whole and about the voice of River Church as a whole, because there are some distinctives which I think is important. One reason I'm glad that we belong to River, that I belong to River, is because of the distinctives, because of the message that that River gives out, which is actually our theology. We always want to say that God is good. And I guess all churches actually want to say that God is good. But sometimes, if their theology is particularly Calvinistic or Reformed, in other words, if they believe that we're all totally depraved sinners and everything that happens is already planned ahead of time, then that's really difficult for people out there to understand, to reconcile that with a good God. If something awful happens, Auschwitz, 9/11, any of the terrible personal tragedies that happen in life, it's really hard to say that that's the will of a good God, isn't it? But a more relational theology, which we have, one which says that bad things may happen, maybe because the enemy is getting in there or because people have free will and they don't always use it wisely, which is a bit of an understatement, that kind of theology that says that we can work in relationship with God to bring some good out of those situations, that is something that means that we can look people in the eye when they're going through these situations and we can bring compassion and we can take their concerns seriously, but we can at the same time bring our idea of that God is good into those situations. It gives us a voice that sounds sane, I think, in a desperate world. River Church also believes in women in leadership, which is nice. Not just because it's fashionable, but because there's a good scholarly interpretations of scripture that support that view. There's a couple of books, if you're interested. There's a Why Not Women by Lauren Cunningham is a good book to read. And Roger Forster's just written a book, apparently, about women in leadership. I haven't actually read it yet, but I'm sure it's brilliant because all his stuff is. Our Bible translations can be a bit skewed. Poor old Phoebe. She's always called a servant of the church in Romans 16:1. But Timothy and Tychicus, I'm not quite sure how you pronounce that, they're always called ministers of the church. But actually the words for servant and the word for minister is the same. But it's, you know, there's lots of examples like that when you start to look. So our views as a whole church on things like heaven and hell and marriage and divorce and evolution and healing and Holy Spirit and all that stuff, they are an important part of our voice to the nation and even to the world. Colin was able to bring this view of church to Nepal and seed those ideas into the emerging church there. And I think that was really important. That was really exciting, I think, because the voice of the church will make more sense now in Nepal, I think, and will bless people that hear it. Their picture of God will be more accurate. And these aren't new ideas. By the way, there have always been churches that have believed these things, the Celts and the Anabaptists and John Wesley. But these days we perhaps do tend to hear in the media more of the other sort. Anyway, so what about the voice of Marlow congregation? Hopefully we are speaking out and we're in agreement with everything that is distinctive to River as a whole. But we also have things to say that are peculiar to us as a congregation. Most of us that have been to the other congregations, Maidenhead, Slough and The Journey, and they're all lovely, and we've all enjoyed them. But we know that Marlow's a bit different. They're all different from each other. And putting that into words sometimes can be quite difficult. I mean, it's to do with economic profile, age, education, all those kind of things. You can analyse all that, you can get positives and negatives out of all that. But really, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, I think. And I think the flavour of Marlow River Church is unique and good. And I think that our voice is one that this town, this surrounding area, needs to hear. Finding that voice, being confident in it, is a process, I think. And over the next few months, we've are invited people to come and speak, as usual, people from the central team, but also a few other people. And I'm asking them to talk about how they feel they speak into the situations that they're in. Andy Rackstraw's going to come. We saw him last night. He was talking about how what it's like trying to have a voice in a place like Turkey. And I'm sure he'll talk about a lot of other things as well. But that's the kind of thing. So I want us to be listening. I want us to be kind of thinking about over the next few months, okay, we're finding our voice. We want to be confident in that. We want to be speaking into our communities, our schools, maybe it's the business world, whatever it is, our other cultures. We want to grow and find out more about ourselves as individuals and as a congregation. Where should we speak up? Are there times we should stay quiet? There's a wisdom in knowing when to speak, and there's a wisdom in knowing when to keep quiet too. Discretion, understanding and wisdom are common intertwining themes in Scripture. There's a whole section of the Bible called the wisdom literature. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon. But the overriding message of all of that, of the wisdom of all of that, really is do it God's way. And knowing what God's way would be, so what his will is really important. Jesus told us to pray to our Heavenly Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to be teachable and we need to be listening people. But as individuals, we can lack confidence, and often it's the quieter ones that have something vital to say. While we're finding our voice, let's listen to everyone. Let's let everybody chip in. In John 10, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. And he says that his sheep hear his voice and obey it because they know him. To obey someone's voice is to obey the person. You can't separate a person from their voice. My granddad, my mum's father, had a really unusual voice. It was lovely. And when I remember him, I always remember his voice. It was kind of gravelly but crisp at the same time. It was a really distinctive voice. Everybody has got a unique voice. And, you know, when somebody phones you up and they say hello, very often you know who it is just from that one word, because it's very unique. Max Clifford, PR man, less well-known Bible scholar, said, if you want people to notice you, be yourself. That's what I think. Sometimes we struggle with that. We struggle with being ourselves. We don't want to change who we are, Marlo. We want to be ourselves. And I think people will notice us. As we found out last week, the voice of love is very secure because perfect love casts out fear. We don't need to worry that we're not as good as somebody else, that our voice is unique. That's how God made us. He's into variety. Sometimes, quite often actually, we have to earn the right to speak. Daniel and Joseph in Scripture are good examples of men who had to labour for years, ups and downs of their life. But in the end, their wisdom and integrity found them their platform, which was speaking into the nations. And that may be where you're at. We may be still in the growing stages. We may be have concerns about various areas of life, education, business, finance, arts, the elderly, environment, all kinds of things. We may be able to speak into that, or we may need to grow yet in confidence or influence or understanding before we really find our voice. And that's okay, because we can encourage each other in that. As a congregation, we've had goals. Some are more important than others. We'd like to see more 20-somethings join us. We'd like to see everyone in a small group. We'd like, personally, I'd like a prayer room, office, bit of a space in Marlow somewhere. But goals can be a bit dry, not something to get emotional about. They're kind of out there, you know, that's what I want. But it's not like, it's not the same as your passion. It's not the same as your dream. When we first arrived in Marlow, we had an evening here to introduce ourselves. And Al asked us what we were passionate about. And I was stumped. And I think I mumbled something about not being a very passionate person. And that I was very into Bible study in small groups. And what I was talking about, though, was goals. I wasn't really talking about passion. And it's taken me a while, I'm afraid. I have thought about that question many times, and it's taken me a while to find out what I am passionate about. I know now what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about healthy church. And I know that I'm passionate about healthy church because when church isn't healthy, that really winds me up. And and I start to pray, and all of a sudden I have things to say into those situations. So there you go. Our voice needs to reflect our passion. We will have more impact on the community, on anything, when we really believe what we're talking about, when we really know what we're saying. Have you ever heard yourself speak? And the first time I think I ever heard myself kind of preach properly was a class that Dennis Turnbull ran. It was a while ago, as you can imagine, and it was on public speaking. And it was just awful. I couldn't believe how high-pitched and brummy this voice was that came out. I think it was awful. I sounded just like my sister-in-law, Julie, who's lovely, and I nothing wrong with sounding like Julie, but I was thinking, I didn't know I sounded like that. You know, I sound completely different in my head to what I sound like to you, obviously. And I just thought, do we know how we sound? You know, we might actually sound a bit different out there than we actually really sound. When you hear Christians in the media, did that sound in their head the way that it actually came out? Did they mean to sound like that? You know. But so we need to be spreading this message of hope that we have, but with gentleness and respect. We need to be aware of how we sound. So I'm hoping over the next few months we will hear God's voice as we listen to different people talk about their experience of speaking into different situations and into different cultures. And we'll find some common traits. I'm sure the voice of love is surely one of them. But the goal is to find our voice, to recognise our passions, to be able to speak as Marlow congregation, united and clear and confident into the needs and into the hurts of those around us. Remember, we can't give away what we don't have. Hope in the Park isn't happening next year, and in some ways it's a shame, but in others maybe it's an opportunity for us to do something a bit more river-flavoured in the town. I believe, I may be a bit biased, but I think in terms of talent per gram, we are a very heavy church. And we're a weighty church. We can make an impression. So let's dream, let's plan, let's find our voice, and let's make an impact on this town. We have things to say to Marlow, and so let's speak up.